On this episode of Still Loading, A Bobo's Bizarre Adventure.
Ooh.
Hey guys, it's Josh.
It's Justin.
He's back, and welcome to the newest episode of Still Loading. On today's episode, we are going to continue where I kind of left off last time, where I was talking about Double Dragon, and I did a pretty shitty job about it. So I'm here with Justin, and we're going to talk about Double Dragon 2.
For this episode, call me Bimmy.
Bimmy, and I'll be Jilly. Not Jimmy, Jilly.
Oh,
yeah. No, so, yeah, we decided to play Double Dragon 2, and it's actually one of our personal favorite games. A lot of these games we haven't really, or a lot of these games, like I said before, I haven't really played before. This is one of the few that I have, and I've really enjoyed it. In fact, you beat it. I made it up to the final level, lost all my lives, and couldn't do anything, because, spoiler alert, this game has no continues.
Woo!
All right, let's get into it. So first things first, as we always do on Still Loading, we will talk about the box art and the cover art for the game. So what do you see on that box there, Justin?
This is like the most 80s box art I've ever seen.
It's fantastic.
You got like the two buff dudes, Billy and...
Bimmy and Jimmy.
Jimmy.
Billy and Jimmy.
One's holding a broad in distress.
A broad? A woman, Justin.
My
we are
bad,
politically
my bad.
Correct here.
A woman in distress. And the other one's fighting off evil doer henchmen.
It totally looks like... So at the bottom of the box, it has, you know, one whoever is the blue shirt guy. I don't even know. Do you know who Billy or Jimmy is? Do you know what... I know it's a red and blue shirt, but do you know which is which?
I couldn't tell you. They look identical.
They look identical. Do they have it in the book? Let's find out. I don't feel like looking. In any case...
It was a good attempt.
Oh, man. I just noticed there's, like, rips and tears on mine here. In any case, the front of it, the bottom middle of it, though, the guy with the blue vest... is punching some other dude who's got, like, a mace in his hand, but it totally looks like he's got a stick grafted onto his arm, because the other guy's club is, like, right over his arm. And the first time, like, when did they put, like, people with guns grafted into their arms into this game? I've never seen anyone get, like, shoot anyone. And if it's such a futuristic city with, like, freaking helicopters, why do the henchmen, none of them have guns? They're all just, like... Nope, just whips and chains, knives, dynamite.
They're too badass for
that. They have dynamite, but they don't have guns. I'm not complaining, that would make the game stupid hard. But yeah, so it has red shirt man, red vest man, holding a whip while holding his lady, girl, woman. His woman in one arm, and a whip that is trying to be, he's trying to get hit with another, like, I don't know what they are, like punk rock chicks, is trying to whip him with. Whip it real good. And it's just insane. It almost looks like they're on top of a bridge, but I think it's just like a fire escape or something, because
yeah,
they're clearly fighting on, like, metal steps or something with a cityscape behind them.
Yeah, don't forget about that helicopter.
That helicopter, though. So let's see what the manual says about this. The Black Shadow Warriors, they've gunned down your girl. Wait, how is they gunned down if she's in his arms?
They still gunned her down.
Dude,
that's how
so you don't even know. Half the times when I've been doing these episodes, I'll read the box, the back of the box that, like, you're holding right now, and then I'll read the manual, and they'll contradict each other. Or either that, or it'll just give spoilers for it. Freaking original Double Dragon... they tell you right off the bat that your brother is the enemy in the back of the box. Like, that was supposed to be the big spoiler at the end of the game.
Yeah.
But they tell you right at the fucking beginning.
Freaking Bimmy.
Freaking Bimmy and Jimmy. All right, so the Black Shadow Warriors, they've gunned down your girl. And you and your brother Jimmy Lee are out for revenge. In your quest, you'll encounter nunchaku-toting enemy gangs. You'll battle through dangerous alleyways and in underwater tunnels. But nothing is too much for you two, because you're trained masters of the invincible martial art of the Double Dragon.
Whoa!
And then the next thing it says, this time they've gone too far. Nuclear war has ravaged the city, and a gang of ruthless criminals, the Black Shadowers, are trying to take over the... They're trying to take over. They're danger with a capital D. I love these manuals so much. Thugs and muggers, tough street chicks, greasers and hoods, high jumpers and karate choppers, plus burly. I love that. Love that adjective. Burly bosses, gruesome giants, and freaky androbots. First, they hit the universally famous Double Dragon Dojo, the home of the Double Dragon Warriors. Martial arts students there were in constant training, building their strength, developing invincible moves, honing their skills. But they weren't powerful enough, or fast enough, because somehow the Black Shadow Warriors managed to overcome every one of them, every one of the men in training, and they committed the ultimate crime. They gunned down your girl, Marion.
Those bastards.
Only you and your brother are left to take on the entire army of Black Shadow Warriors, left to push them out of the city, to follow them back to the dangerous source of their operation, back to where their leader is, back to where you can avenge the loss of Marion. This is actually surprisingly intriguing writing, I'm not gonna lie.
Especially when you play the game and the storyline is just like, helicopter, go!
That's pretty much... grasp! One of the best cutscenes in this game is, after you beat... I don't even remember who. It's, some dude up on top. You have to catch the helicopter that they came out of. And you jump up to it, and it literally says, it has, quotations of Billy and Jimmy, saying something, and then it literally has them, reaching for it, trying to grasp the helicopter, and they just spell out, grasp, G-R-A-S-P. You're supposed to be, last minute. I mean, it's effective, I got what they're doing, but it's ridiculous. You have to use every Double Dragon martial arts move you've mastered. The punches and kicks, the elbow smashes and jump kicks, the hair pulls and hair throws, even the incredible spinning cyclone and hyper uppercut. The more you fight, the better you get. Which is a good thing, because the deeper you get into Black Shadow territory, the more difficult things get. This quest is unlike any you've ever embarked upon, with enemies unlike any you've ever encountered. In fact, you enter places no one outside of the Black Shadow Gang has ever dared to go. Places that hold a never-ending barrage of sheer terror. Places filled with warriors so evil, so treacherous, that only a Double Dragon Warrior has a chance for survival. And that's where this adventure begins. Damn. Man, they... kids in the 80s must have been pumped the fuck up.
Seriously. If I actually read manuals as a kid, I'd be like, ah, I'm doing this. Shadow Warriors.
Imagine getting a bit too far and you're just you start punching your parents. What is this? Black Shadow Warriors, Mom! And you start freaking out on them. Oh my god. He's like, you've been watching too much Dragon Ball Z. It's Double Dragon, Mom!
Get it right!
Puncher! And you spin kick. Oh, this is an aggressive child right here. So anyway, that's pretty much the back of mine says. What does yours say, Justin? What does the back of the box over there say?
I noticed a lot of the similarities, so let's get right to it. Double Dragons. Billy and Jimmy Lee are back to avenge the loss
of
Mary. You
mean Hime Umbime Lee. No.
That is racist.
No, what is it? When I went to do the... movie night or whatever, the wizard and video game up on the drive-in movie, right? They had the announcer in the wizard is always, come here, my pretties, and stuff like that. And so when they call up Jimmy, he goes, Jimmy Woods, and I'm like, Jimmy Woods. And that's the first thing in my head. And so I was with my friend, our friend Andrew, and the whole night, the rest of the night, he would look over and go, Hime Woods. I'd do these weird eyebrow flares. I'm like, Hime Woods. Anyway, finish your writing, please. Continue, por favor.
In their quest to defeat the evil Shadow Warriors, the martial arts duo are challenged in 9 incredible missions, facing ruthless street gangs, nunchaku torten ninjas.
Are there 9 missions? I thought there was only 4 or 5.
Yeah, it goes pretty quick.
Well, didn't we find out later that after we beat it, there's the Grand Master has extra levels or something like that?
Yeah, that's right. Yep. I hate when games do
make you play on the hardest difficulty just to get all the game. I mean,
they do anything for an easy replay value.
Seriously. Go on.
All right. The non-stop action winds its way through construction sites, alleyways, and underwater hideouts, complete with secret elevator shafts, spiked ceilings, and razor-sharp mechanical claws. And in a bonus mission never before seen, the duo's worst fear becomes reality as they fight the ultimate battle between good and evil. A battle where not only their lives are at stake, but the fate of the entire world.
Oh, I'm in. I'm so in. It's crazy. I just, like, looking through the manual a little bit more, Billy has the red vest and Jimmy has the blue. Uh-huh. But they don't actually say that anywhere. It's on the HUD, like, the on-the-screen section where they, you know, they have a little display like, this is where player one is, this is where player two is, this is how many lives you have left, this is how what your score is, this is what your health is. It points out player two, Jimmy, and player one, Billy. They don't have the names of the characters except in the story. And they don't show you what their images are, but whatever. I can't win them all. All right, so that's pretty much a good overview of like the box art. I mean, I know it's kind of hard to explain box art, but go look at it. It's pretty 80s and it's pretty fantastic. It's
beautiful.
Now we read we did our dramatic reading of our pamphlets and boxes.
That should be a podcast in itself.
Dramatic reading. Oh my god. Oh, I'm so doing that. It's going to be like mini episodes.
There you go.
Holy shit. I mean for those who listen, all six of you, if you like that idea, please let me know either on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook or anything like
carrier
that.
Carrier pigeon.
Carrier pigeon. It all goes to @stillloadingpod. The pigeons know where to find me. Oh my god, I so want to do that. Dramatic readings. I'll see if I can get like friends who are legitimate actors.
Yes.
And see if I can get them to you know, transfer that into some voice acting type of thing. Absolutely. I don't know, we'll see. That's such a good idea. You don't know how
I try.
Anyway, so let's go on. So the gameplay. What do you say about the gameplay?
I mean, it's as classic as beat 'em ups get. Like, the fighting, they have like a little bit of RPG element where you get new moves as you progress through the game. You don't really know about them.
They're I'm like, you do?
Yeah, it's very subtle, but it's there. And really the only thing I don't like about the game is they tried to also put in platforming.
That's what they did in the... It's like a common theme in the first one, too. Like, yeah. I don't know what their idea is with that. Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Like, I get... Like, that would be cool and all if you actually gave us better controls to platform. Because half the challenge is just working with the game's mechanics trying to jump.
Well, and like a lot of people say, a game's challenge should come from the game itself, not from its controls, not from your inability to control the character effectively, based on, not on any fault of your own, but based on the game's limitations.
Exactly.
I like the gameplay a lot. I mean, it's all combat. All the enemies are like good and varied, like a lot more interesting than the original one, at least from what I played.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, you have people with like, you have the biker chicks with like chains, you have guys throwing knives at you, you have dynamite dudes, you got guys with like double like swords or batons or something like that. Then you got like the Arnold Schwarzenegger looking guys, and then the like abobos and things like
Bobo.
That. Abobo's Bizarre Adventure. Dude, that would be a great spin-off game though. Dude. Like, just do like have the story of this poor Bobo is like, what are these guys? Why do they keep bothering me? I just want to live my life. I just, you know, I'm about to retire from, you know, what is it, Black Shadow Warriors. I'm about to go back to my two kids, and these motherfuckers have to come in here and just knock me out all the time. Same Abobo for every single enemy on the side. There's not multiple. It's the same guy. He just kind of keeps coming back. He's like, God damn it, here too. Come on.
Just get out.
I just want to live in peace.
Get out.
Oh, that would be such a good show. Oh, I so want to see that now.
Have, like, the sitcom music at the very end of each episode. Above
Yeah. And he just, like, smiles, or it's just a picture of his pecs.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's, like, literally 90% pecs, and then maybe 5% head, and the other 10% is his legs, arms, and the rest of his body.
Yep, every day chest day.
Every day is chest day. 400 pounds in chest. Can't lift five with his legs.
Nope.
Somehow his whole body's propped up.
A true American hero.
A true American abobo. Alright, so yeah, the gameplay overall, pretty solid. It controls for the actual fighting are pretty tight. Mm-hmm. The controls for the platforming, like we said before, definitely not. But the levels are fun and varied. Some of the platforming there is alright, but when it gets to the latter half, it gets ridiculous. Like,
yeah.
I don't mind having to jump over gaps here and there, but, like, I hate how there's, like, a fixed distance for you to jump. Because remember, like, there's that one section, I don't remember which mission it's in, maybe, like, 3 or 4, but you have to cross the river and it's got those wooden planks. The one wooden plank is a little bit wider than all the others, so if you jump at the edge of that wooden plank, you'll miss the next platform you have to jump onto. So you actually have to go to the far left, like, farther away from the edge you want to, like, you want to jump towards, and then jump over in order to land on the platform. Otherwise, you'll just overshoot it all the time.
Yep, it's like a true trial and error game, like, to its core, because even some of the level designs, like, it looks like you're supposed to go one way, and if you do, you fall off a cliff, and, well, you just lost a life. And you only get 3 of those, so...
And then on top of that, no continues. So once you're dead, you're... And it's not even like, you know how some beat-em-ups, you can steal lives from your second player? Can't do that in this thing. I don't know what you're talking about. I would never do that to you. No, baby, no.
No.
The difficulty curve is up there, and we were only playing on normal.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't even play on Grandmaster, which I don't even want to think about. Though we did pretty solid right up until there's that one. Actually, it's my favorite level, but it is a tough one where you have the level where there's spikes on the ceiling. You can punch enemies up, but it doesn't let you jump to dodge attacks anymore, so you have to just stand your ground and just, like, fight it out. It's a really awesome, like, change in dynamic.
Exactly. Like, it's a really cool, like, little mechanic that, you know, on the surface you're like, okay, spikes on the wall, but you actually have to change, like, your fighting style up. Mm-hmm. It's pretty cool.
I really like that, and then, of course, once you beat that, that's when you get to the part where at least I died a lot, where suddenly it's like, all right, let's put you on a moving conveyor belt. If you're not paying attention enough, it'll just plummet you right off. And then even though I was jumping at the right time, I just kept missing, like, just whiffing the platform. I'm like, I'm on the right damn side. Come on, I'm going through the platform right now. Why am I missing it?
Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense.
Nope. And, I mean, luckily, like, the levels are pretty short enough that it does kind of help with the trial and error aspect. Like, alright, game over, start at the beginning, 10 minutes, you're right back to where you were. But it's still, like, one of those little pieces that you're like, man, like, the game shouldn't be this difficult just because I didn't know exactly where to jump.
And that's why Ninja Gaiden is at least, so for how difficult it is, it's at least more fair, because you start back at the beginning of this of that level. Not the stage, because there's 3 stages in every
level. Except for that freaking last level, where you get all the way to the boss, and if you die, well, you start all the way back to the beginning.
Oh yeah, you used to only start back at the beginning of the stage.
Yep.
And if you lost all your lives, then it was the beginning of the level.
Yeah.
Which was pretty fair, but not in the original one. Not in the last stage. If you beat all 3 levels, make it up to the final boss, and then can't beat the final boss, you start back at the beginning of all 3 stages, or all 3 levels, for that final stage.
Ugh.
Or act, if you want to call it. Because I think that's what... Because they have those awesome film noir cinematics. Overall, it's a pretty solid game, and this game, in thinking of cinematics, actually does have some, which are pretty fun.
Yeah.
Super 80s, but...
Super 80s. And, like, they have, like nice little effects in the levels, too. Like, the one near the end, like, they have, like, eyes that open up on the wall. Do absolutely nothing, but it's like, it's kind of, like, a cool, like...
Makes you feel... It's a little creepy, like, especially if you're, like, playing that on your own, you'd be a little freaked out by it.
Yeah, I wouldn't play this game in the dark.
And I think that is a good time, a good place as any to transition into the music of the game.
Ooh, yes.
It's a pretty solid soundtrack.
Yeah, what company made this game, Acclaim?
Acclaim published it, I want to say. I don't remember who... There was... I don't remember who the developer of this game is. I want to say Yu Suzuki, but I'm pretty sure I'm wrong about that. Yu Suzuki... Hold on, where is my phone?
Uh-huh. Internet.
What is this? You mean being professional and on a podcast? Creator of Double Dragon, Google, save my life. No, but it's a strange... Acclaim published it in the U.S. Let me see. Hold on. Let me see who developed it.
I feel like it's the same company that...
Yoshihisa Kishimoto.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, Yoshihisa Kishimoto. Yeah, he created Double Dragon, and then it didn't really go well after that, because he had, like, Double Dragon was a huge hit, but then it got taken out of his hands, and it pretty much, like, just fell apart shortly after that, unfortunately. No, the people that developed it, hold on. Like I said, it was released by Acclaim in the U.S. Developer was Technos Japan.
Hmm.
And then developer for the Master System port was Arc System Works.
Hmm.
So Technos is also the same people, if I remember correctly, who did Ninja Gaiden.
That was Tecmo.
That's Tecmo, sorry. Yes. Yeah, that's what it is.
I feel like the style really reminds me of like River City Ransom and... a little-known game of Dodgeball.
They did do River City Ransom. Uh-huh. So they did... Then they did Super Dodgeball.
I thought so.
Dude, that's really funny. Like, that's exactly what it is. So they did Renegade, Double Dragon, Double Dragon 2, of course, Super Spike V-Ball, River City Ransom. This is... I'm going out of order now. Super Dodgeball, Nintendo World Cup. Now I'm back in order. Downtown Neketsu... It's a Japanese-only game. I'm not going to try to butcher that. Double Dragon 3, Shugoro Quest, another Downtown Special game, or a Downtown game. Then they did Crash and the Boys, Street Challenge.
Oh, yeah.
Then on the Game Boy, they also made the Double Dragon 1 and 2, as well as Nintendo World Cup. On the Super Nintendo, they did Super Double Dragon, and then they didn't really release a lot more in the U.S. A lot of these were... Japanese only titles. The Kamba Tribes, was that ever released in the US? It was another beat 'em up. And I don't know if it was ever released in the US. But yeah, so it's Technos. Technos is the company that developed it. Tecmo, that's what I was getting confused with. The game, though, has a fantastic soundtrack. Oh, I'm going to leave that in, I hope you know. Not editing. I do so little editing, and it shows. the game has a pretty good soundtrack. Unfortunately, while it suits the game really well, I wouldn't say it's like a standout type of thing. Like, yeah. The music is solid, and you don't... music is good when either A, you don't notice it because of how bad it is, or B, it's just good enough where it's like it's just background, like it fits the atmosphere of the game. I remember even someone was telling me, I was listening to a podcast, they were saying how, like, Streets of Rage, for example, isn't the strongest beat 'em up, but when you put that soundtrack into it,
it's so good.
It improves the game a lot. Yeah. And I feel like that's a lot with Double Dragon, because Double Dragon, at least two, it's a well-known beat 'em up, especially because it was one of the first ones on the NES, so it deserves a lot of praise for that. But overall, it's a pretty standard beat 'em up. There's nothing really special about it.
Right, yeah.
But... it's for the fact that it was the first real, like, popular, like, good, I should say, beat-em-up on the NES. Because you had other games. Karate Kid was our something.
Yeah, Karate.
Or Karate. Which, that was more of, like, a fighting game versus a beat-em-up type of thing.
Yeah.
Because that was more of a competition type of thing versus a side-scrolling beat-em-up. And, so it definitely, like, it stands the test of time just for the fact that it... I shouldn't say it stands the test of time. It has a place in history for what it did for the console, and I will say Double Dragon 2 overall I think is a much more fun game than the original Double Dragon, at least on the NES. I never played either of the arcade versions, if Double Dragon 2 ever made it to the arcade. I honestly
believe
don't
it
know.
Did, yeah.
I wouldn't have been surprised if it did.
Yeah.
But overall, I really liked the game. I remember when we first got on, we got it and we tried doing a Let's Play for it, And now we stopped doing Let's Plays because we realized we're not that funny.
subtle details.
No, it's fine. It was fun doing it. But, like, I'll never forget. I would say that was the one that we didn't record that we're like, let's see if we can do this. And we tried it out, and it was, like, arguably the best one we ever did.
Oh, yeah.
And we could never repeat it.
Nope.
And it was never recorded. Yep. So.
And it was, like, one of those games where, like, you just could, like, even though we faced defeat so many, times, we still start right back at the beginning. We go right back at it.
Open up another Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
I mean, we drank beer like men.
Yeah.
And
pizza.
Drank pizza?
You could do it.
Oh, God.
Get me a blender.
Get me a blender, a six-pack of beer. Mix it all together. This is called a man shake.
Yeah.
Pizza and beer. Now all you have to do is throw some wings. Don't take the bones out. That makes it more manly.
Exactly. You
blend it all together. You got yourself a man shake.
Because we're too lazy to chew.
Or it's a spicy man shake. With the hot wings in it. Oh, my God. That'd be disgusting. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Let's do it.
High in protein and fiber, though.
Yeah.
It's got all your food groups. You got meat with the chicken.
Yep.
You got bread with the pizza. And technically fruit because of the tomato sauce. And dairy with the cheese. Vegetables.
Not important.
Well, yeah, men don't use vegetables.
I mean, besides
our vegetables
meat,
are meat.
Exactly. Everything's meat.
Everything's meat. Put some bacon in there for vegetables. But no, it's a really we played a lot of that one night. We just kept going back and not like giving up.
Oh yeah, and it's one of those games you can just have fun with because it's not like outside of the platforming like. Yeah, some of the finance challenging, but it's just one of those games where you just mess around with it. You just have some fun. Like, once you played it so many times, you just say, like, well, what if I do this? Or what if I do this? Or, like...
And you try new strategies out, and you... Like, I still remember the one level where you are fighting... You climb up a mountaintop, and you fight a Bobo at the top of it, and he suplexes you. And he suplexes you right off the cliff, and you lose a life. I'm like... That's horse shit. I can't do anything about that. So then you, and it sucks because there goes one of your precious three and only lives until you get, you can get enough points to earn another one, but it's stupid high, and you're very lucky if you get more than one extra life in a playthrough.
Yep.
And I just remember, though, the first time we got it, we're like, are you fucking kidding me? And so we had to develop a strategy, like, immediately, like, all right, we literally have to hit and run this thing. We can't stay in there, because if we get in there, even if, like, before, if he suplex, all right, take a little hit, you move along. This, you can't afford it, because he'll just suplex you off the cliff.
Bye.
And I remember the one time we lured him all the way to the other side where he wouldn't suplex us off that side, because we knew when we beat him one time before that he only suplexed us to one side, so we bring him all the way over, and after you beat him, there's platforms down below. Since those platforms hadn't loaded yet, and he decided to suplex us the other direction to the right side of the screen instead of to the left, and we still died.
That's so then
we realized we have to keep him in the goddamn center and then never let him get out of there.
Yep.
Oh, that was horrible.
That's so fun at the same time.
It was really fun. Or like in the helicopter level where you figure out how to you start punching him, and then the air bay door keeps opening, and if you don't move, it'll suck you out and you lose a life.
Which is actually a really cool mechanic.
It's a really cool mechanic. But then you could also use it to your advantage by punching a Bobo or whatever annoying boss you don't want to fight into that area, and he'll get sucked out.
And then you start after you start getting their strategies, you start looking at, like, the subtle details. And I noticed that if you let the environment kill an enemy, you don't get points for that kill. So it's like, well, do I go for the... Yeah, like, do I go for the easy kill and not get points and risk maybe getting, like, a life that I could use later on?
That's true. I didn't notice that at all.
Yeah, it's
like, that's awesome.
It's tricky.
Yeah, it involved adding some strategery into the mix. Strategery.
Oh.
But yeah, overall, great game. If you have not played it, I highly suggest it. Do you have any closing thoughts at all, Justin?
Just going to have to Bimmy and Jimmy it.
Bimmy and Jimmy. For some reason, the first thing in my head was just Electabuzz's sound. Like, I'm going to Bimmy and Jimmy it. I'm like, I don't know why that was the first thing in my head, but I hope it sticks.
Eh? Might as well.
But anyway, well, thank you for coming on for this week's episode, Justin.
Anytime, Steve.
As usual, everyone, you can follow me on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at StillLoadingPod. Justin, is there any place you would like people to follow you, or is that all private?
No. I'm never private, baby. No, you can just find me pretty much anywhere on the internet as JFeds88.
And that's where all your cosplay stuff on your Instagram is going to be at.
Yep.
You can see what's your next cosplay that you're planning.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Do you have anything in mind, or if you don't, then what was your most recent one?
Most recent, embarrassing, but I actually went as Love Live, which is a girl. That was an interesting experiment.
How did that go at the convention?
Got a lot of compliments from the ladies, I'll say that. And on that note...
It takes balls to do it, I'm going to tell you. But all right, well, thank you very much for listening, everyone, and I will see you next time.
Peace.